Good morning, 7:41 here on the Mighty 690. As we go throughout a Friday, and it is time for a legislative update, we have on the line State Senator Virgil Peck. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well. Much rather be back home in southeast Kansas, but I'm not. I'm in Topeka, second floor office, getting ready to do the work of the people. Could be one of those really, really long days, as in stretch way into Saturday, but we'll find out as the day progresses.
Well, you all have had a very busy week with all of these veto overrides. You want to touch on some of those and what's been going on this week?
It has been a busy week. We had, I don't know if it's a record number of vetoes, James, but if it's not, it's really close. We had 15 bills that were vetoed, and then in the appropriations or the budget bill, the governor has line item veto authority, which I personally support. I think the governor should have that. Sometimes I think it's better used than other times, but that's a whole other topic. But by my count, she had 28 line item vetoes in the budget bill. So just to briefly go over to hit those vetoes, the legislature overrode 8 of the 15 separate bills, and then only 3 of the budget line item vetoes were overridden. The House was more receptive to overriding vetoes than the Senate, and I don't say that with glee at all. I'd rather be the other way around, because everybody looks at the Senate as being more conservative. Well, it is a little easier to get some conservative things passed, but not necessarily when you got to get 2/3. Only have to lose a couple senators on the Republican side, and we don't have the votes to accomplish some things. But of course, we had, previous to coming back, overridden the governor's veto of the Fairness in Women's Sports Act, which just simply keeps boys out of girls' sports. We had legislation, 2138, that's a House bill, that would provide separate accommodations for boys and girls. A lot of these are along the moral line, which ought to tell Kansans something about their governor. But this bill provided schools had to develop a policy to provide separate accommodations, when boys and girls go on school-sponsored trips. It was a bill that had a lot of provisions in it, but another one had to do with the State Board of Education would review any local school board ordinance, I guess is what I'd call it, resolution to close actually a school. I'm sorry. I was trying to mute so I could clear my throat, and I think I got it backwards. But that's,
we got you
now. You guys in radio know how to operate.
That's right.
Anyway, and then we did override the veto of the Born Alive bill, which amazes me, honestly, that anyone would oppose a Born Alive bill. And what that simply says, if a baby's born alive, whether it's just because it's premature or there was a failed abortion, which happens frequently. And a lot of people say, oh, no, there's not. Yes, there is. Dr. Ron Bryce can tell you about 27 particular ones that he personally witnessed during a 3-year period, and other doctors that are in the legislature also. But anyway, so we overrode that. So if a child is born alive, the medical providers must provide medical care to try to save the child's life. We understand a lot of times they can't, but if you don't try, you certainly won't save any children's lives. And we're talking about human beings. Of course, there are a lot of us human beings before they're born, but certainly once they're born. We also had the Women's Bill of Rights, Senate Bill 180, and the Women's Bill of Rights simply said, this is a woman and this is a man by definition, and women have separate spaces than men do. For example, fitting rooms at places where you try on clothes, separate accommodations, separate rooms. Same way with restrooms, locker rooms, and so forth. So men have men's spaces, women have women's spaces, and men and women don't violate the other gender's spaces. Seemed like pretty straightforward to me. We had legislation, Senate Bill 228. It had several provisions that was really important to county prisons, county jails, as it relates to inmates and jails. One provision in that, we simply said, sort of staying along this same line, that male and female inmates will be housed separately. Kind of a common sense type of a thing. you house people together for long periods of time, things can happen. As a matter of fact, there was a guy who said he was a woman, and so in New Jersey, he was incarcerated in the female prison. Well, this woman impregnated two other women, and we know that's biologically impossible. So he is now saying that his rights were violated because he's now back in the male prison. But anyway, that legislation, we overrode that veto. Another veto we overrode was to define abortion, because the statute, there wasn't really a clear definition, and that was part, James, of the valued in both vote in August of last year. We had people say that, well, we don't even really know what abortion is. Well, this way we defined it in statute, so there's no question as to what abortion means. All of us know what it means, actually. But anyway, now it's in statute. Also, it required abortion clinics post notices for women that once they have taken the a pill, to a chemical abortion, if not a chemical, but a pill to that would cause an abortion, if they change their mind within 24, 48, 72 hours, 72 is kind of stretching it, but there is another pill they can take. It's basically a progesterone pill. I struggle with some of these words.
Right, no, that's, me too.
To reverse the abortion, and then they can keep the child. So that was something that we passed. It just defines and notifies women of more rights. We had one that it had nothing to do with moral issues, to my way of thinking. Currently in Kansas statute, if you're age 49 and younger, and you are not disabled, you are a capable individual of working. Well, if you want to draw food stamps or participate in the SNAP program, you must participate in job training or have work for a certain number of hours per week. We had legislation to bump that up from 49 years of age to 59 years of age. I couldn't believe the debates. You'd have thought that we were asking people who were in wheelchairs to get up and go to work. No, that was not it at all. We just simply said, we're going to bump that from age 49 to age 59, so you need to get out and take job training, try to better yourself if you want to receive SNAP or food stamps, and that we overrode that veto as well. Now, the House did lose three, and one, just briefly, was to allow, and that's all it did, it was allow local schools to have a gun training course in their school if the school board decided. And if they was the young ages, it was the Eddie Eagle program, which was really well done by the National Rifle Association, sort of a cartoon type of a program. We also had the Parents' Bill of Rights that the House failed to override. That just gave a little more parental control over directing their children's education. There was a bill that expanded opportunities for child care, loosened up some regulations, basically a small government. I wasn't real excited about it because I still think that mom and dad should be taking care of the children versus shipping them off to daycare, but the younger set thinks differently. But anyway, the House did not override that. We had a few that the Senate didn't override. One really frustrates me. No, there are more than one. But anyway, the Child Mutilation Prevention Act, this just simply said if you are a minor, a doctor cannot perform gender reassignment, which is sex change surgery. We lost that by one vote. It was frustrating. We had a bill that would have been election day is election day, meaning all ballots need to be in by 7 o'clock on election day. We lost that by two votes. Currently, we have a three-day coast. As long as your ballot is postmarked by election day and received by the Friday after election day, it counts. Well, more and more mail is not postmarked. So it was starting to become a moot point. But so we just wanted the ballots to be in on election day rather than, well, somebody brought it in the next day or mailed it the next day and we happened to get it by Friday. That failed in the Senate, and I don't know why. It did. But one that really, really was of interest to most Kansans, I think all Kansans, honestly, was Senate Bill 169. Senate Bill 169 was a tax cut for every single Kansan. If you made purchases of food in Kansas or if you were employed in Kansas, this was a tax cut. I found it interesting, one, that the governor would veto it. It had several provisions in it that she had asked for, but she said she vetoed it because we implemented a single income tax rate of 5.15%, and we exempted the first for married filing jointly, $12,300, no income tax. Every dollar above that, 5.15%. And so we put in place, we worked very carefully on this as part of the tax committee, the conference committee, to make certain every single person employed in the state of Kansas received a income tax cut. There were also the acceleration of the food sales tax by 12 months. So come January, there would be zero state sales tax on food. We increased the exemption on property so that there would be a property tax reduction. I can go into detail on any of those, but we also put in place an inflation factor, if you will, for the standard deduction on income taxes. Social Security, we leveled out that cliff because currently $75,001, all of a sudden you get to pay income taxes on your whole income on Social Security. We smoothed that out to you pay a little bit at age $75,000, and then at $100,000, you would pay full rate. And then that would go up every year, so eventually Social Security would be totally exempt from state income tax. So I talked a long time there, James. I'm going to pause in case you have questions or other areas you want to go down. I'm happy to answer questions or further elaborate on anything that we have done. And we're still working on several things we've got to get accomplished before we get out of town.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you could go into a little bit of detail. I know it was House Bill 2138, formerly Senate Bill 13, regarding the local broadcasters to video stream postseason high school events. I know there was some talk about, you know, Kansas State High School Activities Association. This is apparently regardless of what exclusive agreements that Keisha might be entered into?
Yep. Yeah. It's kind of frustrating, honestly, from a guy who likes to listen to KGGF and other stations broadcast the local ball games, whether it's the Caney Bullpups, Field Kinley NATO, whatever, school. I'm not going to name all of them. But, yes, Keisha had entered into an agreement that this particular broadcast company, different from local radio stations, had exclusive rights to playoff games. That was part of 2138, which provided for separate accommodations for males and females in school events, as well as state board review of school closings. But yeah, we stuck a lot of things in there, several provisions, and one of them was designed to make certain that KGGF, if they are broadcasting school activities, and we always think, James, in terms of ball games, but if there are other school activities, which you're not likely to broadcast a debate because that's an all-day event, but any type of a program, whether it's a drama or a concert, if you're actively and regularly broadcasting those events come playoff time, you can still broadcast the NATO as they continue into the playoffs, because you were doing it throughout the year, rather than all of a sudden local citizens can't hear their favorite team on the radio. So that was overridden as a part of 2138. So good news for listeners of the Mighty 690 and KQQF, and I don't even know all your stations. You've got like, what, 20 or 30 of them?
Right. All four of them.
All four of them.
And
so that was a good thing, and I was pleased that we had that provision in there and overrode that bill.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other thing, just circling back to, I know what they're calling an anti-trans bathroom law in some, media organizations. They're saying that the law is different than some of the other states because applying to more facilities and also defining male and female, as we mentioned earlier, based on a person's, you know, what they say, reproductive anatomy at birth. But I guess, and I'm not asking you to, you know, compare it to other states, but, you know, the fact that it does we have that kind of separate law defining male and female. You had mentioned before on some of our previous conversations, there was actually some of this stemmed out of schools having a different events where they are actually housing male and female students in the same room on school activities. Is that correct?
It is. And we learned in our discussion coursework, talking a legislator covers every square inch of the state of Kansas in their district. But we have also had school districts that have had the school sponsor or coach sleep in the same bed with a student. Not ideal, even if they're the same gender. But that was part of it, of that legislation as well, that it would not allow adults, sponsors, coaches to sleep in the same bed. They can sleep in the same room, but not the same bed if they're of the same gender of an athlete or of a student. But I don't mind, as a matter of fact, if Kansas is more restrictive and stronger than other states. I'm kind of proud of that, standing up for what is right and what is true, what is moral and wholesome. But even if you set aside all those, James, I still am amazed that the feminists who have been fighting for equal rights and special rights for women for years and years and years have been stone cold silent. They haven't stepped into this issue at all. We've got to do what we can to protect ladies, girls from intrusion by men and boys. Now, we have, James, I've got to scratch my head on this one. We have people up here say, well, that guy is no longer a guy. That guy has transitioned to a girl or a woman, so now you must call them a girl or a woman, a she or a her. Well, let's do a DNA test on them, and if the DNA test comes back that they only have the Y chromosome, okay, I'm good. Let's call them a girl or a female. But if they have any of the X chromosomes, I'm not going to do it. They are a male. That's what they were created as, born as. And no matter what type of surgery you have, no matter what type of hormone therapy you may go through, you're still male or female.
All right, and we'll leave it there. Senator Virgil Peck, unfortunately, out of time again. I don't know how that happens, but hey, hope you have a great week, and we'll chat again real soon.
Hey, I look forward to it. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. A busy weekend ahead for you. Thanks so much. And we'll be back with more Tyro Christian Church on the way.